Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show as Bills rookie minicamp begins today. And today's show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. It is beautiful outside. I know most of the office is golfing at some point in the next 3 days.
It's a little cooler today, but take it.
But yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I got the kind of quarter zip short combo going on.
Yep.
I'm happy.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a great day. Mm-hmm. Let's have ourselves a weekend. Have yourself the weekend you want to because the weather's going to make that available for you.
This week has also taken forever, by the way.
It has, and I think that you and I said this off air, and I think it made the most sense. I think it feels that way because this is the first week of true off season. Last week here, there was some hoopla.
Yep.
This week, not so much. And therefore, we finally are getting into those interesting days, the beginning of the true off season, because rookie minicamp doesn't carry as much drama mm-hmm. as your normal minicamp. If you have storylines like the will he, won't he, James Cook sort of thing could be right. A storyline. I doubt it will. The man put up an Instagram post with him hugging Josh Allen. I think everything's perfectly fine, just like it was always
nice.
Was. Again, that was next year's problem. Always was, always will be, is my prediction. So now that I predicted it, that's going to go haywire.
I think the only rookie minicamp that got a lot of juice to it, first round quarterback pick. I think that's the only one that's going to be like, all right, we got to zero in on this.
Not this year. It's about the third and fifth round quarterbacks that were taken.
Oh, yeah. Cleveland forced themselves to have some juice.
Cleveland,
that's probably right.
Cleveland made themselves a story for rookie minicamp.
It's probably right.
But
for most years, I think that's right, where unless you have that first-round rookie QB where you're like, okay, this is the franchise guy now. Like, this is who we're dealing with the next, at worst, 2 years.
Yep. But it's going to be the beginning.
That, yeah.
It's the beginning mm-hmm. of the offseason. Like, minicamp, you'll have stories be created.
Yep.
OTAs, you will have stories, even though those are voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, obviously we will have ourselves that time. Because while everything's going on right now, we still have the buoy of playoffs in the NBA, in the NHL, and they've both been very entertaining so far.
They've been so good, Derek.
They've been so good, and we will talk plenty about them. Because there's something that Jeremy and Nate had this morning that I wanted to put a different flavor of spice into. Mm-hmm. But I know we're not going to start with that.
No, because you want...
I want to make you cry.
To be rude.
Yes. Today, I'm... Here I am promoting positivity today, and now I just turn around and go, I'm going to make my friend cry.
Not just you. I'll join in too.
You're with me.
Oh, yeah. His numbers takes are weird.
Yes. So
they're not weird. They're objectively correct.
By the way, we went 4 minutes into the show. He's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer. That's Josh on the board there. I don't know how else other to say this other than, man, you got to let people be with the numbers.
Nope.
It's okay.
Nope.
It's okay. As a matter of fact, Jeremy and Nate had you quickly discussing about quarterbacks wearing the number six. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield, thanks to Nate, you know, helping number six's case. And to me, I'm sitting over here going, I don't care what a player wears, because if you're bad, well, you're not going to have that number for very long.
I care
immensely.
You're
going to get cut, and then you're going to have to join another team, and you're not going to have that. Or you're awesome, and you make the number look cool because you're that good. And that's where I want to do this. I, luckily, or unluckily, I guess is the way I can phrase this, I am what they call a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
Millennials do have recollection of the...
The obscure sports player.
No, not the obscure sports player. How dare you with the player I was about to mention. But knowledge of the players that played in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge of them. I don't know how much I ever saw of Carl Mecklenburg of the Denver Broncos, but that was a linebacker wearing the number 77, and it was awesome.
Yeah, you showed me that, and I was like, cool, when was he drafted? Like, I need to know. Made complete sense. Round 12, Derek.
That's okay.
That is a modern day. Now, I no disrespect to the player. He was great. A four-time still, first-team All-Pro, the
yeah,
whole thing.
Should be a Hall of Famer.
But he was given 77 because they're like, you're not making the team. Oh, you're making the team. You want to keep that?
So ready?
Okay,
there is a decision at the end of the day of he wants to keep that. So that's his selection. Bruce Smith, where's the number 78? Go ahead. Do it.
I'm getting there with edge rushers wearing numbers in the 70s. 50s I can get there because of the off-ball linebacker, pass rushing linebacker I can get there. It's not my favorite. I prefer what the Bills rookies did this year with their defensive line picks, which is all they're all numbers in the 90s.
I'm glad that you took a step back.
But I am getting there. Well, because my guy, Kenneth Grant, wore number 77 in Michigan. I was cool with that.
Yeah. So I'm glad that our conversation out there has changed something for you.
Very little. Shuck and Jackson Dart are both wearing number six. By the way, it happened off air. I had to inform Nate of that, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so.
Also, he has mentioned that it takes a little bit away. Now that we've got all these guys wearing number six.
Yeah, because Tyler Shuck doesn't know how to spell his name proper to how it's pronounced.
It's bad. Luther Burden wearing 87. I mean, this is an epidemic.
It's not an epidemic.
No, Luther Burden, I can get on board with that.
Hang on. That's the one Jesus I will support. Marshall, the wide receiver from Carolina a few years ago, wearing a number in the 40s. What is happening?
Okay.
What number
was it in the 40s? What number was it? Was it 47?
I think 47 or 46.
I love that chaos.
If it's 47, it's fine.
I love that chaos.
47
I don't care what
is a good number.
I don't care what it is. I love the chaos.
No.
I love the chaos.
87, though.
87 is a good wide receiver.
This is the only agent brain I have. Like, if I was a player's agent, I would sit them down and go, my guy, we have got to have kids buy your jersey. You've got to wear something that at least looks cool when they go to school.
If kids buy your jersey, it's because you're popular or good.
No, day one.
It's not because of a number.
I don't want little Timmy asking his dad in the car ride to, you know, wherever they're going to buy their jersey going, Dad, who's a great quarterback that wears six? And the dad with a 1,000-yard stare out on the highway going, playoff Mark Sanchez. That's all I got.
You're going to
that's it.
You're not even going to include Baker Mayfield.
No.
Really? Ready?
Come on.
If numbers mattered that much, Jared Allen would have the most popular jersey purchase of all time.
Yeah, all right. That one's a good one. I think a lot of
Josh finally got it.
I think a lot of Minnesota Vikings fans have his number.
Yes, because he was good. Not because wearing the number 69 as a pass rusher was a smart idea.
They're aesthetically bad-looking numbers.
Yes.
We need to acknowledge that. I get good players make numbers and you'll buy them, what have you.
Numbers.
Allen with number 17.
Josh Allen with number 17. Before that, it was Phillip Rivers with his horrific-looking throwing motion, which absolutely has hurt his legacy. I will die on that hill.
I'm here for Jake DeLome's legacy, protecting
Jacob
that.
Jacob DeLome.
That was a starting Super Bowl quarterback.
So was Trent Dilfer. So is Kerry Collins.
Well, first of all,
that doesn't do much for me.
Yeah, but also, for a couple of years, he was pretty fun in Carolina.
He had a great receiving core, by the way.
He did. Also, with a receiver that wore the number 87, Musin Muhammad.
I do not like
Come at me, bro.
Well, here's the thing, too. There are certain players that can wear the number. I didn't get to say this really on air, but like...
What do you mean there's certain players that can wear the number?
Taller receivers, what have you. Like, they can wear it. Like Eric Decker was what, 6'3"? Like, there is an aesthetic to it. But Luther Burden being 6 foot and a fast guy wearing 87? God. Horrific.
No. No.
Terrible. No, see, 87 I can get on board with because, like, that's Gronk's number. Well, that's Kelsey's number. Like, that's a tight end number.
So, but the thing about it is,
yeah,
before
that number,
it is.
It's before them. It's not exclusive to tight ends.
Sure,
numbers are just that. They're numbers.
But for the past 25 years, there's been a great tight end wearing that number,
and that is nobody's problem. For me, it is still a big old who cares.
The one thing I do,
because I remember a player like Reggie Wayne, sporting 87, and being one of the best receivers to do it. I don't look at his jersey and go, ugh, 87, gross.
The one thing I do give players credence for is
you
like,
do, if you and that's why we're doing this.
If you have a significant reason to have that number, then wear whatever you want.
Here's the problem. I don't necessarily care what a player's reason is, because you said they have to have a reason for it.
Well, for certain numbers, they might.
Certain numbers. All
Luther
numbers.
Burden the third wearing number 3 from Missouri. You know, that's kind of nice.
Exactly.
Yeah, but 3 is not available on the Giants, I don't think.
3 is not available on the Giants at the
Russell
moment.
Russell
Wilson. Russell Wilson.
Well, Burden's on Chicago.
Oh, that's right.
Chicago number 3.
By the way, why did we draw him up to New York?
Update real quick. Terrence Marshall for Philadelphia wearing number 46. He will be cut.
Nope. I want it.
He's going to be cut.
I want this. And the reason, though, is this. There, Josh says there's a reason that players end up wearing numbers. Sometimes that number is given to you, and then you choose to make it great. Sometimes you choose a number because it does mean something to you. Sometimes you choose a number just out of happenstance of, why did I pick this number? But now I'm sticking with it.
Well, Josh Allen, for that, when he's talking about Y17 when he was at Wyoming, it was the number they gave him. It was a number that was available. He took it. I think he wore 12 at some point. He's worn 15, stuff like that. I'll
use a personal anecdote.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The first number that I ever ended up with at 6 years old was the number 49. Not a normal number for a lot of people to pick.
Nah, it's pretty rough.
It's even funnier because... I ended up on the offensive line.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That said, throughout the rest of high school and everything like that, playing in football, I did not have the number 49 because I couldn't.
Yeah.
But then I gravitated back to it, and I didn't remember why. When I started playing hockey, I ended up on the number 49. Why? Because I found the jacket.
Oh.
The six-year-old Derek jacket that has the number 49 on it. I was like, I'm going to pay homage to the first number I ever had playing any sort of organized sports.
Number 3 in Chicago, by the way, is retired.
Yeah, he can't have it.
Who is it?
Bronco Nagurski.
Yeah, no, he can't have
that. Fullback, linebacker, and tackle from 1930 to 1937.
Yeah, he can't have that.
Unretire it.
No.
I'm talking about the 1930s.
And only for 7 years, by the way.
You also hang.
Well, back then.
I feel like there's going to be a story to this, though.
There's
that
a
I now
college
want to look
football
up.
Award called the Nagurski Award. So both of you stop it right now.
I was like, there's definitely a story. There has to be a story to
both
this.
Both of you stop it right now.
There's got to be a story to this.
He's Canadian, by the way.
Oh, that's nice.
Canadian fullback.
Heck yeah.
Canadian fullback. There we go. Yeah.
That's the aesthetic that you want wearing number 3.
His name was not Bronco. That was his nickname.
Yeah.
Oh, that's upsetting.
His actual name is...
Your wife is holding your baby, Bronco.
Bronco.
That's his actual the name I'm going with.
Bronislaw?
Bronislaw.
I'm probably butchering that.
That's
I'm really sorry.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Bronislaw, maybe?
Bronislaw.
That's awesome.
I understand where
Bronco comes in.
Bronco came in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But especially if you're a fullback. Come on.
But again,
That's so
Burden good. Wearing 87. I love the choice. Why? Because he can make it cool.
Now, so on making your own number, I actually did want to get to this because there's been a bit of number hoopla.
Because you had a problem with this last draft.
Oh, yeah. I have a problem with it most drafts. But to
with a Bills player.
Keon Coleman wearing number zero. I still don't like it. But I do want to talk about that point real quick here because there has been some number hoopla, and it's with Abdul Carter, also of the Giants. He picked number 51. And I agree with that wholeheartedly of make your number your own. I joked right there that they should unretire the number. I don't actually mean that. If a number's retired, a number's retired. It's up to the it's up to the team.
It was,
I think the New York Yankees have gone too far with it.
We got Bronislaw out of that discussion, so.
Yeah. But ultimately, if a number's retired, I don't love when players ask for it. I don't even really like that Cam Ward's wearing one in Tennessee for Warren Moon. Mm-hmm. Like, they made this whole show. And if Moon's cool with it, fine. It's not my place to judge. But I didn't like that the moment Cam Ward's like brought out, they had Warren Moon walk out with a number one jersey. I was like, this feels staged. I don't know. I don't like this.
That was also a very clearly a hammered down behind the scenes discussion.
I just, like, I was feeling uncomfortable for Abdul Carter. You asked for two retired numbers, man.
Yeah.
Like the Lawrence Taylor one. Have some self-awareness, brother. Have some self-awareness to, like, that arguably is still the greatest defensive player of all time and is inarguably the greatest New York Giant of all time.
I was going to say, maybe at minimum, don't best come defensive in, player of Giants history.
Yeah. Maybe don't come in day one going, I want that number. And then to that point, don't pivot and go, cool, 56, I totally understand. How about 11?
11 was his college number.
11 is a number that some college programs do this. Penn State is one of them.
Yeah.
They give the best defender 11.
7 at LSU, I know, is typically the best player. I don't know if it's defensive, but it's best player.
USC does this with number one for their wide receivers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're going to miss Zachariah Branch going to Georgia. So they're going to miss him.
That's the thing is that like there are colleges that historically hand these numbers to players for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, do you start college with one thing and then they hand you the number? What do you do? Say no? Like Abdul Carter, you're being given the number 11. What are you going to do? Say no?
Yeah.
Which you could.
You could. College players but change the numbers
but
a
linebacker university, which gives number 11 to players
that
typically play linebacker. Like Penn State used to be known as Linebacker U.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone to hand you 11, that's a big deal. That's why Parsons has it.
Yeah,
in Dallas.
Yeah, I just I hated it. Like, and I like Carter as a prospect. I think he's gonna be very good. I don't.
But it's a rough look for him.
It's a bad look because he made a big deal out of asking for 56, and then made a big deal of asking for 11. And I think Phil Simms even said yes, but his family said no. I'm not 100% sure.
Which
on
also,
that.
Come on. Let's not do that.
Yeah, it
like why is a family got to make a big deal about a person
who
he's the one that
says yes or no?
Hang on. This is going to sound really jerkish. Phil Simms is the one that wore it and made the career that he did out of that.
He gets the choice.
Yeah, he should have the say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why the family is able to make this decision for him on that. Like I don't get that one.
Yeah, I don't love it. I just but for me with Carter, he ultimately, by the way, picked 51. Good number. That works for me.
I also think that
combination of the two numbers.
I think that's kind of what I think that's what the plan was.
Because you can't go 16.
No. 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 But it's just like I don't know. Like we haven't had to deal with this a lot, but like I never watched Jim Kelly play. But if Allen had come in, 7th overall pick, high pick, coming and went,
asked for 12.
I want to wear 12. It would have really rubbed me the wrong way day one. And it's a very small thing, but there is that level of decorum, of self-awareness, of realizing I haven't done squat in the league. Great college career for Abdul Carter, I'm talking. Great college career. Mm-hmm. A lot of great college players that never done anything in the NFL. A lot of Heisman winners that weren't even high draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I am for make the number your own. Don't go for someone else's retire number or anything like that. I'm cool with that. I want it to look good. And I want myself to go there and go, all right, yeah, that looks clean. There's a nice aesthetic to it. I think six for a quarterback is – I think six overall is not a great jersey number. I don't think it looks very good. That's just me. But, yeah, like the Abdul Carter thing, I've been thinking about it a lot. I talked a little bit about it earlier this week on the nightcap. But just – I don't know. It really – it kind of bothered – and I like Carter. But I'm like, you went for two of them?
That is, you need to know the franchise that you've been selected to.
And let's not act like you're surprised the Giants picked you. It kind of been rumbling for a few weeks.
Yes. So, as a matter of fact, you were the betting favorite to be that. But have that awareness once you are selected by the team. Do a quick study. Or have your agent do the quick study. And he comes back to you and goes, dude, you can't have these numbers here. I also do think that sometimes we see sports franchises, some franchises, retire too many numbers.
I mentioned the Yankees. I think the Yankees have gone a little bit too far with that.
There's some quiet chatter about even the Sabres having done so.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the minute that Aaron Dell showed up
as
a backup goalie and he wanted number 30. And
it was loud.
He very quickly changed to 80.
It lasted a day. I mean, it lasted a day. That was about it.
It might have lasted 12 hours.
Yeah. Yes.
So
it was quick.
But that just tells you something. And that number was not even formally retired yet. That was another instance.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there are some teams that retire too many of them. And it's like you may need to let go of some of the past at this point.
Well, and that's my thing too. You retire all-time greats, not just in your team, of the sport. Mm-hmm. Like, I am getting there where I think no other Bills player is ever going to wear 17. I think most of us can kind of comfortably say that.
You say that now, but we're having this discussion.
Yeah.
Well, so it's absolutely going to happen.
But it's absolutely
someone's going to ask for it.
But I think it's got to be like all-time great done. Like, no Chief is ever going to wear number 15 again.
No. They're going to retire.
They're not. 87, same thing. But both are inarguably all-time great players at their respective positions.
Right.
And that's where I think, like, I know there's Ring of Honors for certain teams and stuff like that. And yes, it's for your specific team. But yeah, like, I do think there are some circumstances where I'm like, okay, he made like three Pro Bowls. Like, what are we doing here? Come on. Let's not do that. There's only so many numbers we can go to. And if we're being honest, sport's going to go on a lot longer.
The sport is going to go on longer than the people that were of its past.
And like, that's always been my joke with the Yankees. Like, we're going to get to a point where, like, what are their rosters going to look like?
Now,
because of how, I mean, they're going to retire 99. You know that's going to happen.
So let's actually reference this back to Bronislaw.
Mm-hmm.
Bronco Nagurski. Number 3 is retired on the Bears.
Yep.
But he played in the 30s. It is because of the impact that Nagurski had on the sport itself.
Yes.
Why that will stay there. But at the same time, a modern fan can challenge. Nobody or very few people were alive to watch him play at this point.
And I'll argue, too, probably when you get to that 100-year mark, which we're getting close to, we're getting close to it, teams will be like, you know what? We'll pave way to the next generation.
And there's,
you know, we'll honor
be...
him, but, you know, 3 will be offered again.
Yeah. I am of the like that, like, because of that specific player, I was like, hold your phone real quick, because I knew you were going in on that about Burden. But I had to politely tell you to...
It was like the moment I said, I'm like, there's got to be a story there.
I
could not think of the name.
The minute I heard Nagurski, I'm like, no, they're not getting rid of that. And then we found out his name is Bronislaw.
Bronco. I'm a little disappointed that out of the womb his parents weren't like, that's Bronco right there.
That's Bronco.
That's Bronco. It's so good.
Put it on the birth certificate. Slap it on there.
Bronco.
Bronco.
It's also because I know too many like new parents that have like joked around with the fun names, but then always go to like the safer option.
To reel this back in.
Name your kid Anakin. Have conviction.
Name
let's go.
Your kid Anakin.
You brought it up. Let's do it.
Please clip that.
And they don't do it. And they don't. And then I'm the bad guy for bringing it up at Thanksgiving, going, not Anakin. Interesting. I'm the bad guy.
I'm the bad guy. No, he is.
Right.
But to reel this back in. You are way too corrective about numbers in the NFL.
No, someone needs to be.
I, for one, love the fact that a punter is wearing 32. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, that's funny.
I love a wide receiver wearing 46.
I'd see.
That's cool.
I
Could you imagine your own thing.
Could you imagine him catching a pass?
Yes.
Seton.
Very easily.
You're going to say this. But
he got drafted because they think he can catch a pass.
This is Terrace Marshall. He's a few years ago with Carolina. This is his last stop, likely.
Then they signed him because they think he can catch a pass.
If he catches a pass for Philadelphia this year, if you watch it, if you see it, I know you.
Philadelphia wearing 46.
Outwardly,
I love it.
Outwardly, you'll be thrilled for him. Internally, you'll be like, that's vile.
No, it's not. I will not think that at all.
I can't. Look at the aesthetic, Derek. It's bad.
The aesthetic is what you make it.
No. There is a healthy balance there.
No.
And
I want Marshall to get like 500 yards.
Our number crisis is way overbalancing it. It's not good.
I want Terrence Marshall to get 500 yards now.
I'll stop watching the sport if that happens.
No, you won't.
I will change careers.
No, you won't.
I can't have
that. No, you won't.
I cannot stand for that.
I will.
Either that or I'm going to become his biggest hater, which is hard for me to say. I liked about LSU.
I mean,
he was the third receiver of that group. But
now I need him to get 500 yards. Like, I need oxygen.
I don't. 803-0550, the number to call. We had a little bit of fun there. We're going to get ready for a Bills rookie minicamp, which is beginning today. It'll run through Saturday. We'll be joined by Sal Capaccio after this quick timeout. But real quick, as we lead into that, the Bills have announced they have signed the following draft picks to four-year contracts. Landon Jackson, Jordan Hancock, Jackson Hawes, Dorian Strong, Chase Lutt, and Caden Prather. We'll get more on the Bills rookies as minicamp will begin today with Sal Capaccio following this quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Before we get to Sal, I do want to remind you to join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you will receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. Sal Capaccio, now on the Western Hotline, as Bill's rookie minicamp will get underway today. Sal, good portion of the rookie.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Class is also signed today, so off to a good start. How are we doing?
I'm doing great. Sorry about that. And I will say, just as I'm coming on with you, the Bills have announced their undrafted free agent class. How about that, guys?
There we go.
So we're going to be adding in. We're going to be adding in 12 undrafted free agents, most of which have already been kind of accounted for. Even on my roster that I put out there, that I have all these names because of various sourcing. Ryan Talbot does a great job, Syracuse.com. I know Joe Biscaglia had some as well. But anyway, wherever people got them from and sourced, I added them. So I'll cross-reference and make sure, but it looks like 12 players have been signed. We'll get a tryout roster as well. We'll get a rookie minicamp roster, and everything will start here today at 12:30 p.m.
All right, and Sal, what time, you said 12:30 p.m. is when practice is going to get underway?
Yes, and then we'll hear from rookies after practice. Mm-hmm. More of an informal setting, like, you know, in the field house, you know, talk to them. They come off the field like we do after a Bills practice. Mm-hmm. I'm here in the media room right now. We're not going to have anything official in here today, like at podium. This is going to be like, hey, they're on the field. We watch them. Then afterwards, you know, you got to catch up with them and say, hey, we're talking to this guy in a scrum or that guy, and, you know, we hear from them. For the first time.
You know, Sal, I was listening back to you and Matt Beauvais's conversation yesterday with Sean McDermott on Always Game Day in Buffalo. And the last year and a half of this kind of change in, I'd almost say, the vibe around McDermott. He's you know, much more fun. It kind of seems like he's cracking more jokes. There was an intensity to him I do want to get to, because the one answer, I know Matt's tweeted out and it's kind of made the runs. I want to get to that. But first, I also really enjoyed listening to him talk about like what they look for in rookie minicamp. And one of those kind of was like just sort of like the informal, like maybe more of like a comfortable setting, getting to know them. It's not here on a visit. They're actually here now and stuff like that. It was kind of cool because me and Derek were talking about it. You know, a rookie minicamp doesn't always get a lot of the the big headlines, really, unless you have a rookie quarterback. But it is still important.
Oh, my goodness. It's, you know, there's an old saying, you never get a second chance to make a first impression, right? Mm-hmm, I mean, that's the first time these guys are on the field today in front of their coaches with their teammates, most of them all, you know, rookies or maybe select second-year players who haven't had as much time in the league, so they're eligible. This is the first time they're going to have to interact with them, to be on the field with them, for people to see what they're like, how they interact with them, what their personality is, and then talent-wise, right? And like I say all the time, guys aren't going to make the team or not make the team today. It is possible you could get a guy out there like, okay, he's out of shape and, you know, he didn't take this seriously as you're cutting him. But, you know, what they show on the field today isn't going to make or break them and their chances for the 2025 Buffalo Bills. What it does do, though, is it gives the coaches an understanding of kind of where they need to fit in as they go through their offseason program, what some of the kind of nuances for this particular player are, both on the field and personality wise, right? I thought that was an interesting point from Sean during this podcast you referenced that Matt and I did, which is, you know, you have to kind of learn about each player, and everybody's going to be a little bit different. You know, you can't, not one size doesn't always fit all. Yes, you have these overarching rules and expectations from a football team and organizational standpoint, but as I brought up to Sean in that interview, you have guys like last year is a great example. Keon Coleman came here as a 20-year-old rookie, and then Ray Davis was 25 years old as a rookie, right? I mean, they're at different stages of their life. Landon Jackson's married already, guys. He's 22. He's married. Right? Like, does that matter to – is it a really big difference on how they get treated? No, not necessarily. But I think, you know, you're going to understand them from a humanistic level, and that's just as important for the coaches over the next few days than it is seeing them on the field.
Man, that is a very quick reminder of life is a marathon, not a sprint, with how different it can be. Sal, though, from your perspective, what do you watch for in these 2 days? Because I think it obviously can depend on really what position you're looking at, how early these guys were drafted, and what have you.
Yeah, good question. I think everybody's different in the media, what they're maybe looking for. And I'm sure some media is going to show up today and say, I just want to focus on Max Harrison and then talk to him and do a story on him, right? Mm-hmm. That could happen. My personal approach is always, I want to see who's jumping off the page to me a little bit, if that makes sense, right? Like, I want to go and see if there's someone that I go, okay, like, I notice that guy. Now, it could be for a good or bad reason, but generally looking for a good reason, and it doesn't mean that it's going to happen necessarily later on. You know, do you guys remember the days of like Justin Shorter was one of these guys, I think, but who was the... Perino's in the room. Matt, who's the wide receiver every year that looked great in minicamp? What? Duke did. It was Duke Williams, but there was another guy. Desmond, was it? Oh my gosh. I can't think of his name.
Hang on.
And every year we're like,
There was a couple. Of, Brandon Riley was one of those names that was recycled
Brandon Riley,
in there.
But that was more of a – Brandon Riley was good like during like the training camp.
Yep.
What? Kumerow was one too, but no, he made the team. Okay,
Christian
Wade was a preseason hero. No, I'm talking. There was a wide receiver that was for like three straight years. Like this guy looked great, and then he put the pads on, and nothing happened. Right. So anyway, my point is like that happens out here where you see a guy, and you're like, oh my god, look at that guy. He looks great, and then it just doesn't happen, and it doesn't work out for him. I'm looking for that. The reverse could be true though. I remember coming here, and literally like day one, I'm like, okay, Ron Darby is different. He's just different. He's better than everybody out here.
He was direct,
right? Like
Rogers.
The way he moves his hips, right? No, the way he moves his hips, those kind of things. Sammy Watkins was just different. I actually remember Tre'Davious White was this guy. Like where it just, you knew by watching him, he was just kind of better and different than everybody else. I'm going to get that player because it's really bothering me now.
It's Derrick Rogers.
No, it wasn't Derrick Rogers.
He was probably
Derrick Rogers
one of them
was
too.
A guy like that, but
yeah.
Okay, hold on. There was a guy, and I'm gonna get it for you because you know why? Because
it's figuratively killing all of us.
Probably, yeah. Hold on, I'm gonna go back to you know what? Because he was
so
drafted before this regime. Desmond Lewis.
Desmond Lewis. Oh my god.
I haven't thought about that name in years.
We just went through like
Desmond Lewis every year. Drafted in 2015. Desmond Lewis, 6'4", 214, right? This guy was taller. Every year for like three straight years, at least two, he showed up and you're like, ooh, dude, like he looks like he's a stud. Look at this guy in shorts. And it just never translated. He literally has played two games in the NFL.
Yeah, you gave me the measurements. I'm like, yeah he would be the guy that would pop off.
Kind of wild.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
I went through three different guys and it was figuratively killing all of us. I'm glad that we got there though.
Yeah. But anyway, that's a great example of how you can kind of go out there and these guys look really great in shorts, but what happens when the pads come on? But the opposite, like I said, you could be true where you look at a guy and you're like, okay. And how about the story Sean McDermott shared with us on this podcast we're talking about, which is I asked him, was there ever a guy like that for him? He actually shared a really good story about Luke Kuechly and how the first practice they ever had with Luke Kuechly, he's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, he doesn't look like – he was watching him out of the corner of his eye. He wasn't that impressive, basically. Like, you know, you have to go and listen to how Sean described it. And he's like, okay, like really wasn't like, okay, are we like, this is the guy we took number one. And then they go to 11 on 11 and he just was so good compared to everybody. And he's like, okay, now I see what happened here.
There is nothing I love more. GM coach gamer, would have you. Well, pure gamer. I love when you don't often get that kind of story from a coach where they don't immediately like it's always a glowing review. And it's no hate to coaches. I get it. You want to be sort of a diplomat in that sense. But I love that he kind of acknowledged that initially he didn't love Kuechly. But it was once he got to 11-11, they were playing real football. I was like, okay, never mind. Wrong on that. So one guy I'm interested in, and I think we talked about this during draft coverage, really it's all of the cornerbacks. I think this team has done an incredible job in the late rounds of finding NFL talent. And I look at a guy like Dorian Strong who, on that Saturday when he was drafted, the three of us, me, Derek, and Nate, were all kind of like, oh, that was a guy we thought could have been available in the fourth round. I'd be interested to see kind of what he looks like.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good stories like that and a lot of guys you could pick out. He's one of them for sure. I mean, he's got he looks the part, right, when you think about Dorian Strong. Looks like a guy who can fit in here and play at the NFL level. Let's look at the cornerback depth chart, though. Right? What are his chances of actually being on this team? I think they're good to be on the team because of where he was drafted, but there's no guarantees there. And then what about him actually, you know, suiting up, getting a jersey on game day, contributing? I mean, I think corner is going to be maybe the most fun position to watch during training camp. And it's going to start out here, by the way. Max Hairston, Jordan Hancock, Dorian Strong, Daryl Porter Jr., as a undrafted free agent. Even, I don't know, but like guys like Daquan Hardy and Tecori Couch, like it's possible, like there's certain guys, I don't know if they'd be eligible for this, but sometimes guys that are in the practice squad last year are eligible in their second year to come to rookie minicamp. The point is, this is going to be a nice group to kind of watch as these guys go forward, and he's certainly one of them at the quarterback position.
Zach mentioned Strong, and I look at Hancock, and this will be the first chance that the Bills would be able to get various looks from him in like the 7-on-7s, sort of a non-contact sort of scenario. Where would they put Hancock? Will they put him in the slot? Will they put him at safety? Will they put him outside? This will be the first chance that a very versatile piece like Jordan Hancock will have the opportunity to show where he might end up most comfortable.
Yeah, for sure. And I think those things start now. obviously, Derek, and you know they're not going to end today, right? Like you put a guy mm-hmm. somewhere. I remember, in fact, you know what's a good example of this is the linebackers over the last few years, right? I remember when, speaking of a Dorian Williams, when he came in and talk was, okay, he's going to play middle linebacker. And then like, no, he actually fits more on the weak side, right? I mean, like there's all these kinds of things. Beale Inspector, same thing. Even Terrell Bernard, what was his role? Weak or the middle, you know, he actually, remember, Terrell Bernard's first start in the NFL was in place of Matt Milano mm-hmm. as will linebacker against the Jets. And then what happened? He wound up moving the next year to being the main, you know, middle linebacker, obviously, and that's where he is now. But you're right. Like this is the time period where you kind of start to get that. But again, tomorrow, it's acclimating. It's getting the guys in. It's kind of just getting a feel for them, watching them run through drills, interaction. All of that stuff will get sorted out. I think a lot of us, we're all so thirsty for it. We want to put the cart before the horse. We want to envision it. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about who's making the 53. The Bills are going to have a process here, and this is May, right? We're at May 9th. They have rookie minicamp. They have a whole bunch more OTAs. They have mandatory minicamp. They have all of training camp before any of that actually gets sorted out. But today's the first day to kind of at least get a look at them.
Like life, it is a marathon, not a sprint. We will get there.
Yes.
But let's all enjoy the changing of the weather. Sal, I'm excited to go golfing this weekend. I just wanted to say it. There's nothing else there. I just want to say it. But Sal, real quick, last
thing. I am too. I'm actually, I think I'm playing with Bulldog tomorrow morning, early tomorrow morning.
There we go. It's everybody. I'm loving it.
I just don't know how to golf.
We'll get you there. We'll get you there. Don't worry.
Will we?
I mean, we'll get you there. Sal, last thing for me. Because I brought it up right at the start of the conversation. There was an answer from McDermott yesterday during your interview with him and Matt Bove, where he was talking about a story that he was meeting with a fan and eventually came to the fan kind of telling him that he feels like the Bills maybe are okay to be second best or second place. There is mm-hmm. a fire that I think a lot of fans have seen from McDermott that just – I know there's this up-and-down feeling about him. I know there's this feeling of maybe have they – ran this race too long. Do they need to change out the car? Whatever, what have you. There is a fire to that man that it almost feels like he is having to fight not exploding and getting amped up and fired up and like has to like keep his decorum. Is that kind of how you felt talking to him yesterday?
Yeah, he's just certainly a passionate guy. I think we've always all seen that, right? You know, and I think that what's happened here over the last probably a year or so, a little over a year now, it seems like, going into last year. I think there's a lot of recognition that Sean's been a lot more open. Now, that's kind of well-documented, right? Doing snow angels on the field after a game.
Right.
And, you know, just kind of like all of that kind of stuff. And I think that he looks so intense, and he is so intense about football. And I think that's been kind of his identity for so many fans for so long that they haven't been able to, because he hasn't really allowed it as much, to see the kind of true person he is. He's passionate about life and the city of Buffalo and what the Bills mean to the Buffalo, right? He really is. And I think when you're around him, you get that sense. That story yesterday he related is absolutely one of them. What he's passionate about is not just living here and being a part of this community, but what the team means, what the organization means to the community. And that story was a great reflection of it. And how, you know, he didn't take it from a standpoint of he was mad at the guy, right?
Mm-hmm, like, yeah.
He was mad. The guy said, "Oh, I get the feeling that you know Buffalo is the Bills are good with being number two." He could have I'm sure it irked him. It bothered him. You could tell on his face. Go watch it. But what he took it from was a standpoint of, okay, I want to win for that guy because I want to show him and prove him that's not the case. Right. That's what was interesting to me about the end of that story.
Yeah, I've gotten there. You know, obviously covering the team, I've somewhat distanced myself as a fan to just you know be able to cover them. But I have gotten there where I want to see the Bills win a Super Bowl. Of course, for the fans, of course, for my family, for me, the whole thing. But like Sean McDermott has kind of gotten up there as like a guy I want to be able to see lift the trophy because I can just mm-hmm. imagine the weight that would be lifted off his shoulders and Allen's, of course. He's absolutely gotten up there I want to see him win one. Because you can see the passion that he has for the sport, for the city, of course.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You know, I mean, we talk a lot about who's the next athlete that needs to win one. And Josh is right at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. It's Josh, Lamar, I think Connor McDavid, right? I mean, they're all right there, right? You want to talk about guys. What about coaches? I mean, Sean McDermott's at the top of that list, too. He's near it, at least, right? What coaches haven't won one that you say, okay, like, this guy needs to win a championship, right? He hasn't done that yet. And Sean McDermott's right there with several other coaches. If you want to go through the list or whatever, I don't know who you're going to say. Kyle Shanahan, maybe, right? He's been to a Super Bowl, been to a couple now.
Yeah.
So there are other coaches there. On that list, he was hired the same year as Sean, actually, go through other sports. Lindy Ruff, right here in Buffalo, right? I mean, that's certainly one of them in all of sports that would fall into that category. So, I think that's the case. Can I throw Aaron Boone in there, too, as a Yankee fan?
I was going to throw Judge in there for next athlete to win. So you could throw Boone in there. That's fine.
Throw Judge in there, too. You're right about that, no doubt.
All right, Sal, thanks for jumping on with us. Enjoy practice. We'll be hearing from you later today.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you.
All right, Sal. Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline as coverage of Bills rookie minicamp on WGR is presented by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you in part by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet.
All right. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550, the number to call. We're open the rest of the morning to afternoon leading into Sabres Live at 12 o'clock. You want to talk rookies, who you're most excited to hear about?
Do you have another random Bills preseason receiver that we missed?
Austin Prohl. Although, hearing what Sal said about him, I'm like, oh yeah, Prohl would not have fit that at all. He was the prototypical slot guy, catches everything, gets open. But the moment you put him with a bunch of other people, you're like, eh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So many preseason.
There were so many
heroes.
Names. I went through three different ones, and so I was like, no, not that guy, not that guy, not.
And then, it was you.
I do love
realized,
like the three
like,
of
oh
us were
goodness.
Like the three of us were like, is this figuratively killing all of us right now?
I was getting to a point. I'm like, it's just an amalgamation of people. It's just clumped together.
The preseason wide receivers are actually the friends we made along the way.
Yep. 803-0550 again, the number to call. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Quick segment here before our next timeout. I did want to bring up a fun realization in the break.
I asked, I made a pot shot of it. I don't know if people really wanted to flock in to make calls about random Bills preseason wide receivers, but
Rob in Toronto called in. Josh let us know. He mentioned the name Rod Streeter, a wide receiver from Allen's rookie year. When I heard the name Rod Streeter, I had a vivid flashback.
You, like, came alive.
Love was in my eyes. I remember, and it's Streeter's a part of the play, but I vividly remembered Allen's rookie year. It's a preseason game in Cleveland. and it's like second or third down. Like they're in the red zone, and it's Allen has to dance around in the pocket before firing a touchdown, and it's Rod Streeter who catches the pass. I'm fairly certain that's all he did, but I remember that play.
You work too many of these games.
I wasn't working then.
Really?
I was in college still.
Oh, okay. That's why you remember.
Yeah, which is even worse.
That's worse, yes.
Is that I that remember that game.
You actually watched it.
Oh, man. I have a few
with
games.
With intention and remember, you have a core memory about Rod Streeter.
You know what's funny? So Allen's rookie year, I remember the first pass he had in the preseason, which was he just uncorked one, went out of bounds. I don't remember who he played against. I remember this game. I'm going to call it the Rod Streeter game.
The Rod Streeter game.
And then I remember his second year, 2019, a preseason game against Carolina. I'm sitting there at a local wing restaurant with my buddy Joe. We're watching the game, and it was like the Bills opened up with like 15 straight passes. It ultimately was foreshadowing for what they would do later to start the year. But I remember, and we're both like, that's all we needed to see. We're ready to go.
All right, so we clearly need to get him off of whatever the heck this is. Like, Robin Toronto, thank you for bringing up that name. I also feel I don't know if I should take credit or take blame on that. That we had a Rod Streeter segment, but in 2025. But here we are. So it's kind of my fault, and I guess that's okay. So for my penance on that, I'm going to make sure to let you all know that we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf card. For just one low price of $129, you can unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls in case you shank a couple of swings. That'll always happen to you. And those will come from Encore Golf. You'll also be able to score deals at Rick Zurak Golf Warehouse on transit in Bowmansville. A portion of your proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at getmyperks.com. We'll transition into the second hour talking about postseason. Instead of games that don't literally matter, we're going to go to the games that matter the most. The NHL and the NBA playoffs have been awesome, and we'll talk a lot more about that coming up on the other side on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, Josh Schmitz on the board. This is WGR.